Hello, my friends. This is Bishop Campbell welcoming you again to a short meditation on the theme of living the Catholic life. This past Sunday, as you all may know, we celebrated the feast of the Presentation of the Lord. This feast day is notable, and I want to remark on it, because it is one of the few reasons for displacing a regular Sunday celebration. But this, since it is a feast of the Lord, if it falls on a Sunday, it is then celebrated in place of the regular Sunday observance. This feast day is also known as Candlemas, because it is traditionally on this day that the candles that are used at the liturgy are blessed and set aside for that particular use. There's also an ancient tradition that the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord, or Candlemas, on February 2nd, is actually the end of the observance of Christmas. So that if you have not yet taken down your Christmas tree or other Christmas decorations, this is the time to do it. Before, of course, you have a difficulty with a very dry Christmas tree. But, in fact, the feast itself, interrupting as it did the continuing celebration of the Sundays of Ordinary Time, is important because it speaks of a meaning of the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ, even as he was an infant. Now, it's a commemoration of the fact that 8 days after the birth of Jesus, he was presented in the temple in accordance with Jewish law. There was a time when this feast used to be called the Feast of the Circumcision of the Lord, and it used to be celebrated on January 1st, 8 days after Christmas. But on this occasion, what is stressed is the fulfillment of the law into which Jesus was born as the son of Mary and as the foster son of Joseph. We are told in the gospel reading from Luke that in this presentation, Mary and Joseph had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the Lord and his law. Now, what is important about this line is that it indicates a fundamental reality of Jesus' presence among us and the meaning of the incarnation. The incarnation, of course, is first of all the fact that in Jesus Christ, God took on our human form, our human reality, our human flesh. But it also meant that God had inserted himself into a very historical time. As all human beings are, we are all born into a particular time, a particular culture, language, and social and political arrangements. And in this way, Jesus truly was fully human, in the same way that we are fully human, except for one thing, and that is sin. And in that historical moment, Jesus became, in a sense, subject to the historical time and the historical realities. But as the early theologians used to say, what Christ assumes, he transforms. So by the very fact that Jesus in his incarnation took on the actual realities of human life, whatever was touched by his life was transformed and deepened. So that in fulfilling all of the prescriptions of the law of God, Jesus began to reveal the deeper meaning of the law of God. As he was later to say in his ministry, I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them and to bring them to perfection. And he began this process as an infant. This is why the story of Simeon and Anna, which are very much a part of the presentation of the Lord in the temple, are so important. That, in fact, Simeon ministering in the temple as he was, would take up the child Jesus and realize there in the infant he was holding was the presence of God. And of course, he could recognize this through the grace of God given through the Holy Spirit. But suddenly in his ordinary life, in his regular observance of the law, his presence in the temple, suddenly within those very real historical facts, God appears. And in a sense, everything changes. Simeon and Anna saw their lives fulfilled in the fact that they recognized in the infant Jesus the presence of God. Simeon was to say, "Now, Lord, you can dismiss your servant." His work had been done. His life had been fulfilled. And in fact, that canticle of Simeon, as it is so called, is the canticle that is prayed every night at night prayer by priests and sisters as they read the Liturgy of the Hours. And this is important to remember, that God is present among us in the very details of our life, in the very situation we find ourselves in our culture, in our language, in our social relationships. God is there, present in Jesus Christ, a presence that is noted and understood in the proclamation of the Word of God and in the celebration of the sacraments. And Christ continues then to touch these absolute facts of our everyday life and can transform them. For example, at the end of the gospel passage for the Feast of the Presentation, we are told that Mary and Joseph returned with the child to Nazareth, where the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And it's interesting to note that the ministry of Jesus began with the living of a family life. And this is why we refer to the family of Mary and Joseph and Jesus as a holy family, that in assuming that family life, God through Jesus Christ transforms that family life and allows the family to become what the Second Vatican Council called it, the domestic church. The very presence of God through Jesus Christ continued generation after generation. But of course, as Jesus matured, as he learned to trade, as he was taught the prayers of his people, he reached a point where his heavenly Father announced, "This is now," and he left them to begin, of course, the final 3 years of his ministry, which would end in his death, resurrection, and thereby grant the gift of salvation to the world. Think of this in Jesus Christ, and think of our vocation as Christians. Being born in a particular time and place, all Christians are called upon to transform the society around them according to the pattern of Christ. It requires that we understand the world in which we live. It requires that we understand and embrace the teachings of Jesus Christ. And it involves the witness to understand how those teachings of Jesus Christ can be applied in our own particular time and place. Knowing and understanding the history to which we are heirs, and committing ourselves to the work of proclamation under the providential hand of God, is fundamental to our Christian development and, in fact, our Christian vocation. We are fully human, body and soul, which means we live in a human reality, in a human world, but a reality in a world that can be transformed. And in fact, I want to conclude by referring to a very interesting concept that was developed by a 20th century theologian who called it a theodrama. We are all in an extraordinary drama of salvation history. And like every drama, there are three persons that are fundamental to the drama. There is the author, there is the director, and there is the actor. The author in this theodrama is God the Father. He wrote the script. The director is Jesus Christ, who taught us how to fulfill that script perfectly. And as director, directing our lives now according to the pattern he knows from his heavenly Father. But every drama requires an actor, particular individuals who all have their particular talents and abilities, and they contribute as well to the drama. Learning the script, listening to the direction of Jesus Christ, and then performing it in our own time and place. And in this fashion, salvation history continues to be revealed until that wonderful time when Jesus appears to us again, fulfilling all things and inaugurating the kingdom fulfilled in Jesus Christ.